coming up on the Movie Review Crew podcast.
I do have an important question. Aaron, would you go see Thor in the movie theaters if you got free movie theater butter popcorn?
No.
What?
Wow, dude, what? I'm seeing
it's
any
a ticket. Right?
It's money, a- I don't care. Like, right. You want me to watch Human Centipede in the theater, free butter popcorn? Okay.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
I don't think I'm quite familiar with that phrase.
I'll explain. And I'll use small words so that you'll be sure to understand, you warthog-faced buffoon.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I make this look good.
You are now listening
to the Movie Review Crew podcast.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
All right, welcome in everybody to another edition of the Movie Review Crew. I'll be your host today, Shane Chronican, and joining me is Nate Dudley.
Yo, what's up?
And Aaron Chronican.
Yo, what's up?
Good.
Thank you.
We have a good episode for you. I'm really excited to talk about this one. It was Nate's selection. We will be reviewing Memories of Murder, 2003 crime thriller from director Bong Joon-ho. But before we get into that, let's go over what you've seen lately. Aaron, what have you seen? Anything new?
No, not at all, really. I've been watching a lot of baseball because my team's actually good now. And I watched some kids' movies. That's it.
I figured you'd be rushing out to see the new Thor movie. Is that...
I probably eventually will, just to see what Christian Bale does, and Taika Waititi's good, but I don't really care enough about Marvel, and I'm not spending theater.
Yeah, I forgot Christian Bale was in it to make you interested. I purely brought that up just to try to trigger you, so didn't work as much as I was planning. But
you know, I am happy to see that Marvel's losing steam, and people are just sick of it almost as much as I am. So good.
Well, I just think they're in phase four now. And I think there's two issues that are becoming apparent. First, that's just too much with the TV. You have to watch the TV shows now along with the movies. Second, there's always been a clear direction of leading up to this, you know, the big bad guy. And so far there's more questions than answers posed. There's not really an apparent plan in place for phase four. So it's a lot of things that I guess I don't know. Maybe people are struggling to get interested. I mean, we got the 20-year culmination leading up to Avengers Endgame with Thanos, and maybe people are saying, yeah, okay, what next? How do you build off of that? I don't know.
And the fact that people, I think, are starting to realize, like I do, they're just so boringly uninspired. It's just Disney gets their hands on these things, and it's like you have to fit this one mold, whether it's Star Wars or Marvel. You have to be idiotically funny for 8-year-olds. You can't have any real consequences. It's just boring. And people are starting to realize that it's the same thing over and over and over, just new costumes. Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, people have been talking about Marvel fatigue for years, and it's still steamrolling everything else. So who knows?
Yeah, it's true.
I do have an important question, though.
What's that?
I do have an important question. Aaron, would you go see Thor in the movie theaters if you got free movie theater butter popcorn?
Ooh.
No.
What?
Wow, dude, what? I'm seeing
it's
any
a
movie.
Ticket.
Right? Money, I don't care. I don't care. Like, right. You want me to watch Human Centipede in the theater, free butter popcorn? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. On that 25th anniversary of Human Centipede, you and I can go for some free popcorn.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Let's avoid talking about that movie. Dudley, what have you seen lately? Any new movies? Anything?
Not necessarily a movie, but a show based off of a movie in Lincoln Lawyer.
Oh, how was that?
I thoroughly enjoy it. And the only thing I had, I think, a little bit of trouble, because I really like the movie.
Lincoln Lawyer.
Matthew McConaughey.
Right.
And then you go to this character who is
Not Matthew McConaughey.
Not Matthew McConaughey.
But
and like any what?
For those that have read the books, that character is more accurate.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yes. Did not know that. I saw the books on the bookshelf in my dreams, never knew there was books about it.
So I haven't personally seen the that show yet. I want to. That's one of my favorite book series. Well, Michael Connelly books. In the novels, he's the half brother of Bosch. I don't know if you've seen that show.
No, I did not know that either.
So I don't know that Bosch is on Amazon. That's on Netflix. I don't know if
it'll ever, I'm gonna have to look that up.
Mix,
okay.
But the book series is very good, so I'm very excited to watch that one.
I recommend.
And I did like the Matthew McConaughey movie, so I'll be interested. I'll be comparing it to both of those, the book series and the movie, because I enjoy both.
Who made this? Which service is that on?
Netflix.
Netflix.
Oh. But it's
on Disney.
It's produced by Michael Connelly, who did the same thing on Bosch. That way he had input and the characters stayed true to what they're supposed to be. And
sure. So I don't know. Is it a limited series, 8 to 10 episodes, 6 to 10 episodes?
Yes. I think
I'm sure it'll have multiple seasons though.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's
popular. 10.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I'm excited for. Have you seen anything else?
I have just started watching another TV show, but what's it called? The Something List with the Terminal List.
Oh, yeah. God, that looks really stupid. That looks really stupid.
I'm like
stupid.
One episode in, I keep falling asleep.
No, that, really?
Not to the show's fault. Just I keep trying to watch it.
I've been avoiding that one.
Chris Pratt puts me to sleep too.
Well, no, that's not why I've been avoiding it, because I found out it that also was based off of a series of novels. So I found the first one and have started reading that. So I want to at least read that and get an idea of the story and the character before I get into the show.
Chris Pratt doesn't do anything for me. I just don't think he's very talented. And second,
fair enough.
About a billion times I heard the radio commercial for that movie. They play, first of all, radio commercials for TV shows drive me nuts. But all I kept playing was it, like, it just made these explosion noises. And then Chris Pratt in his stupid Chris Prattiness was like, "Don't show up on my list." I'm like, okay, I'm not ever watching this show.
I can't tell if Aaron's like super upset at Chris Pratt right now, or
I've never thought he was good. And it's just look at the posters for the show, and it's like, I can't take you serious, Chris Pratt. You're not quit with this goofy ass tough guy look. That's not, you can't pull it off.
Aaron, I'm so sorry I did this to you. I opened up a whole box, and I'm so sorry.
I don't know why you just hate all tough guy stuff. All action movies and cool guy shows.
If they would actually get tough guys to do it and not these
that's
fair. Like John
Hollywood
Krasinski?
Male models.
John Krasinski, 13 hours. Blah, 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 blah.
You're right. You know what? Basically what Aaron's saying is more Mark Wahlberg, please.
I was just thinking that I could hear it in his voice. He just didn't want to say it.
Hey guy, you don't want to make my list, buddy. Would you watch that one?
Not a chance.
With my tubs of movie theater butter popcorn, dude.
I'll move on to what I've seen. I finally got around to seeing The Northman, and I'm torn. I liked a lot of aspects about it. It was just really, I don't know. It was really
blah.
Weird. It was odd. I don't know.
Boring.
I came away feeling underwhelmed, and I can't really point to one specific reason why. But I just
a well-made, boring movie.
I mean, think
it's just a revenge story. It doesn't do anything.
Yeah, new. I think the overall plot, the general plot, was a bit too familiar. I mean, it's just,
and Nicole Kidman. That was what's with that casting.
Yeah, didn't enjoy that.
How was my girl Anya in it?
She's
fine.
She's always good. Didn't have a great role to play. Ethan Hawke was was good, but had a very minimal role.
Well, I didn't. The goofy thing is, like, you know, and everybody talks about how that director keeps everything so, like, to a T accurate, historically accurate, and all this and all that. And then it's like, okay, so then we got the main character that ages 30 years over the span of, you know, it goes from one scene to another, and he's, and then it's like Nicole Kidman is just Nicole Kidman still. Like, how, I mean, you're worried about accuracy, and one of your main characters doesn't age one bit while a span of 30 years. Like, they didn't even bother trying to.
She probably had Viking Botox, though.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, yeah, just at least try to make her look older.
I think.
Cosmetics, something.
To me, I had the feeling that there were individual scenes that worked well, and there were. Visually, it was done amazing. Yeah. But just overall, a little bit underwhelming. To me, his best movie still is The Witch. I still think that's his best movie.
Is that the one with Anya as well?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I did watch that after you guys recommended that. I watched that. I don't know if we ever talked about it, but
The Witch. Did you like it? Because that was very divisive among our group. Like, that's in Brent's bottom 10 of all time, probably.
Really?
Yeah, he absolutely despised every second of it.
Who's Brent?
Yeah, we don't talk to him anymore because of it.
No, I honestly thoroughly enjoyed, like, I normally don't watch movies like that, so I enjoyed, like, getting out of my comfort zone with that.
Yeah,
or not,
yeah,
comfort zone, but like normal zone,
right?
I thought it was very interesting for what it was. I wouldn't say it's necessarily great or bad, but it wasn't like I was mad when I got done watching. I'm like, man, this is a waste of time. But
see, and I'm starting to I enjoyed The Witch. I watched The Lighthouse, didn't enjoy. I'm starting to think that his movies taken as art are amazing. I can't deny that, but he needs to tip the scales a bit more in favor of entertainment, because they're just, even The Witch, as much as I enjoyed that and I really did like it, it's not an entertaining movie, and it's very slow. And I know that's what Brent hated about it. And The Northman's probably his most, at least if it was on a spectrum, it's the closest to a mainstream, you know, approachable by a general audience type of movie. And even that was weird as hell. I mean, I don't know. I think he just needs to kind of tip the scales a bit, be more entertaining, bring some fun into your movies. You can still be detail oriented and exact to a T and visually inspiring and all of the things that you do, but make it fun. Make me enjoy my time watching your movie. And I'm kind of cooled down on Eggers, not as an artist. I think he's fantastic, but as far as entertaining me, I'm cooling off on him.
Real quick, I forgot I did watch one thing other than baseball this week. Cause we off the podcast, we were talking about, it's weird. We were talking about the cave incidents, yeah. Like, you know, trapped in a cave. I watched the documentary about the cave rescue of the 13 Thai kids, or mm-hmm. I guess 12 kids and their coach stuck in a cave. And it's a good documentary, and I can't wait. There's a movie coming out in a few weeks here about that, starring Viggo Mortensen and Colin Farrell and Joel Edgerton.
Yeah,
and I'm super excited about that.
Because to me, good and documentary are complete opposite terms.
Stop.
So I just won't watch that, and I'll wait for the movie.
I think it's incredible. Like, man, the whole story is incredible. And then, I mean, you're talking to the main speakers during the documentary were the two British divers that were the main ones involved, and it's good, man. It's good.
Well, I will take your word for it and watch the movie. So any other movies we've seen, or do you want to, I kind of wanted to talk about, so Dudley picked Memories of Murder, which is a Korean movie. So I kind of wanted to talk about what we've all seen as far as Korean cinema, because Korean movies kind of, at least internationally, became prominent and gained international attention in the relatively recently in the 2000s, in big part due to Old Boy in, I think, 2003, maybe, because that one at the Cannes, I don't know how you say that word, film festival, Quentin Tarantino talked all about that. And then The Host came out in 2006, and Bong Joon-ho's been on just a tear since then. But I just wanted to ask you guys, I guess, what Korean movies, if any, have caught your attention since then within the last couple decades? And I'll kind of give mine just to start it, because me watching action movies, that's where they've gained my attention. Obviously, I've seen Old Boy, but it seems like to me there's not a year gone by that a South Korean action movie is not on my top 10 list of action movies. I mean, even just recently, 2020 was The Swordsman, 2019, The Gangster, The Cop, The Devil, 2018, The Witch, 2017, The Villainess, 2016, Train to Busan. I mean, you can go back to 2010, The Man from Nowhere. I could go on and list all these amazing Korean action movies, but I'm not so versed in movies like this. And yeah, even Bong Joon-ho, who's well known to American audiences, I've only seen, before this, I had only seen Snowpiercer. I hadn't seen any of his other stuff. So I'm not very versed in Korean films outside of, you know, martial arts and action movies. But have you guys seen anything? I know, Dudley, you mentioned one. What was that one that you saw with it, or you were telling me about, that had the huge twist? The
I was just trying to look that up.
Tale as
you
of were Two talking. Sisters.
No, it's called
I've seen that one.
The Vanishing, or The Vanished, or something. I believe you said.
I can't.
Where the wife disappears is what you were telling me, if I remember right. But anyways, so what have you guys seen anything? Do you have a whole lot of? Have you seen a whole lot of Korean movies, or even Bong Joon-ho's movies? Have you seen all of his filmography?
I have seen Parasite. I've seen all of his except his first one, before Memories of Murder. I don't remember what it's even called, but
Barking Dogs Never Bite. Yep.
Never saw that, but I saw all of the rest of his. And I've seen basically I don't go looking for them. So if they become super popular and I hear about them, I will see them. Like, I saw The Devil is a Korean thriller. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
The Man from Nowhere I saw.
Yep.
The Villainess you mentioned, I saw that one just because it was giving huge buzz for its action sequences.
The Wailing, have you seen that horror movie?
I have not.
Holy cow, you got to watch that one.
I've seen
it's like 8 years long, but it's worth it. It's so good.
Train to Busan, we yes. reviewed.
Yeah.
A Tale of Two Sisters I mentioned, that's a good horror movie with a twist. I can't think of any off the top of my head. I'm looking up a list here, but I mean, like I said, I really, unless they become popular, I don't watch them, because why would I? I'm not gonna go movies. Sit through 15 Korean movies hoping they're good. I just watch what people say are good,
right?
And hope they are.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess me being more apt to watch an action movie, I'll take more chances on Korean action. But yeah, I am not even as far as Bong Joon-ho, who's, you know, everybody says how great he is, and I don't disagree, but I've seen Snowpiercer and now Memories of Murder. I've not seen anything else of his, and I know everybody says how great they are, and I just never have gotten around to seeing them.
Oh, you haven't seen Parasite yet?
No.
No. Oh, dude!
I haven't seen Parasite. Aaron watched that one. Great. Said that was good. I've never seen that. The Host. I mean, that was huge when it came out. I've not seen that one.
It's dated with this monster CGI effects. But
well, yeah, but good. If it's a good movie, it's still a good movie. Yeah. I just wanted to talk about that for a bit, though. I was just curious because, like I said, I've only ever seen the martial arts movies and action movies that come out of there, really.
Really wish I could find that movie that we were talking about. You know what? I think I just found it.
I think didn't you say it was called The Vanished or something like that?
I don't know.
I guess if we don't have anything else, are we ready to jump?
Oh, The Vanished is not, that one's not Korean movie.
Are you sure?
It is a good movie. Yeah. The Vanished. Yeah, The Vanished has Thomas Jane in it.
Oh, Yeah,
unless
that's
a different.
Not the
yeah,
right
that's
one.
A different. Okay,
no, that was a really bad movie. are we ready to talk about this one specifically?
Yeah, called, there's a Korean movie called The Vanished, psychological thriller. This has to be it.
I think that's the one you were telling me about. But anyways, let's get into Memories of a Murder, because I feel like we're gonna have a lot to talk about here. So let's just kick right into it. Memories of Murder is a 2003 crime drama mystery, as I said, from director Bong Joon-ho. This was his second movie. It's 2 hours, 12 minutes long. Before I get into anything else, I'm going to go into the numbers of it. It's on Rotten Tomatoes, has a 95% from critics, giving it an 8.2 out of 10, and a 93% from the audience, giving it an 8.6 out of 10. On IMDb, not too far off, 8.1 out of 10, and the critics' consensus on Rotten Tomatoes, Memories of Murder blends the familiar crime genre with social satire and comedy, capturing the all-too-human desperation of its key characters, which I agree with. Before we get into it, let's talk about the cast and crew. First directed by Bong Joon-ho, as I mentioned before, and I just kind of want to give you a picture of how good this dude is. Obviously, Parasite, he won 3 Academy Awards for that. Best Motion Picture, Best Directing, Best Original Screenplay. But I was digging deeper, and there is what's kind of known as the Asian Oscars. It's the Asian Film Awards. It started in 2007. And since then, he has been nominated 10 times just since 2007. 3 times for Best Director, surprisingly never winning. 3 times for Best Screenwriter, winning twice. And 4 times for Best Picture. So since that started in 2007, he's made 5 movies. 4 of them were nominated for Best Picture there. 3 of them won. The only one not nominated was Okja. And the one that lost was Snowpiercer, surprisingly. So yeah, he just has cleaned it up in the awards, the Asian Film Awards. So he's well known for a reason. He's one of the best there is. Written by Bong Joon-ho. Sorry.
I've seen all of them except that first one. I already forgot, Barking Dog something or other. I never saw that one. But now seeing this one, and I've seen Snowpiercer, Okja, Parasite, Host. Even Parasite, I thought was just fine. I mean, obviously it's very well made, but I know this guy's good and people love his movies, but like best of all time, he's not even close to consideration for me.
Really?
Not even close. Wow. It's just, maybe it's his style.
Well, movie. This is only the second movie of his I've seen, so I can't really speak too much on it. I'm just kind of going over the accolades that he's garnered.
And we'll get into it, because even
at least the movie,
the problems I have with his other movies are present in this movie. So we'll talk about it.
Okay. So we'll talk about that when we get there, but I'll go through the cast or the cast and crew. Written by Bong Joon-ho and Sung Bo Shim, based on a play written by Kwang Rim Kim, and also based on true events of the first of Korea's first known serial killer. Starring as the main role, Detective Park Doo-man, is Song Kang-ho. And I want to go through some of his, because that dude apparently is like the friggin' De Niro.
He's in all of...
Well, he has starred in 4 of Bong Joon-ho
Parasite,
movies. But I mean, as far as accolades, I was...
Song Kang-ho did?
Yes.
So who are we talking? Yeah. Oh, he was in Parasite? Oh,
yeah, he's been in 4 movies of Bong Joon-ho's. But listen to this. I was looking into him and his accolades. Again, going to that Asian Film Awards, it started in 2007. So The Host would have been up for an award that year. So he won. He didn't win. He was nominated in 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, and then 2014 for Best Actor. Like, that dude is like the Robert De Niro of the Asian Film Awards. Everything he does apparently is gold. So I may have to check out some more of his stuff. But yeah, he was great in this too. Going down the list, Detective Seo Tae-yoon was Kim Sang-kyung. Ro Ha-kim played Detective Cho Tong-hoo. Those were the trio, basically, the 3 main detectives. And then Park Hae-il played Park Young-ju, who was, without spoiling it, he was one of the suspects that played a major role in the events that happened. And he apparently is a pretty good actor. He was nominated for Best Actor once in 2011 for the movie War of Arrows. So some good actors, at least recognized in through the Asian Film Awards. So there's the numbers. There's the crew. Dudley, you picked this. Tell me why.
I was looking for an action-packed military movie, and Aaron told me that I was stupid, and so then I was like, okay, I'm gonna pick
wait a minute,
a completely different movie.
No, that's how it happened. Moving on.
I just want the view, I just want the listeners and viewers open, honest conversation. Yeah, here. Yeah, so yeah. Aaron totally made me pick a completely different movie. So I was like, you know what movie am I gonna pick? Something with a twist. And so as I was looking up movies with a twist, I came across this one, and it was between this one and Atonement. And I decided to go with this one, a little bit different, you know, with it being a Korean movie. Mm-hmm. Just thought it would be very interesting to watch. But it's definitely the twist, that it being supposedly a twist movie is what got me to watch it.
And had you seen this before?
No. Nope.
Oh, this is okay. My first time. So this is first time viewing for all of us then. Or I guess I should ask Aaron, have you seen this?
Nope, have not.
Okay, and not only had I not seen it, I also knew nothing about it.
Yeah, me neither. I didn't even
know it was based on a true story either. So
so this is all of our first time viewing. What you picked it, what were your first thoughts? What was your initial thoughts?
Okay. First thoughts, I watched the movie again not knowing anything about it. So at the end of the movie, at the very end, I'm like, I don't know if I was super excited about this movie.
Okay.
Because of, and we'll get into all the spoilers and I think different things down the road here, but once the movie was over and it's completely done, I'm like, did I miss something here? Or
you know, I'm telling you, that's how I felt with Parasite and all these other ones. Like, you know, it's fine, but where's all the love coming from?
Yeah, I'm sitting like, what? Well, I was just talking about even like in the storyline itself.
As the storyline.
Yeah, okay. And I'm like, it seemed incomplete to me. Like completely incomplete, not incomplete, like, you know, kind of make up, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, but like completely incomplete. And I'm okay. Like, I don't know. So then after I read, or I saw another review, not really a review, but some guy talking about the director, and then talked about this movie, and then found out it was a true story, then actually went and looked at the true story, and it made a little bit more sense, which then I'm like, okay. So it made me like the movie a little bit more, but I think overall, like, it was a good movie. It was entertaining. But I don't know if it was everything I was hoping for.
Okay.
Out of like a twist movie.
All right. Aaron, sounds like you were kind of on the meh train on this one.
Yeah, because I mean, spoiler alert. Here's some spoiler. The incompleteness, yes, that bugs me, but not totally, because it's basically, it's the Zodiac, but a Korean version.
Yes, I had that same thought.
And I would rather watch the Zodiac. I mean, to be honest, it's the reason, the thing that bugs me about this director's style is that, I mean, this is a very serious story. Yeah. And at times is taken that way and shown that way, but then in the middle it's like Three Stooges slapsticky stuff going on.
Yes. I was gonna get into all that.
Yep. And he's known for
injecting
comedy and mixing it with horror and tension and drama, so that's definitely, this is true to his style.
Yeah, and I don't like it. It doesn't fit. I mean, sure, bring comedy into it, but you know, there are varying levels and styles of comedy. His Three Stooges stuff doesn't fit this story.
I agree with that point, although I will never dislike a cop coming in and just drop kicking people, dude, out of
the
nowhere.
Amount just of flying double feet lunge kicks that
just, yeah.
I amazing. Loved every minute. like the first time it happened, this dude just jumps off of a hill to a complete stranger who's trying to help a woman, and he's just like, there's a rapist. I'm gonna jump off this hill and just 2 feet in his chest.
It's amazing.
I loved it. And so that I got a kick out of the comedy. I enjoyed it. It gelled better in some moments than others. I'll give you that. Sometimes it was jarring, the kind of tonal shifts from being a little bit silly to now we have to take this dead serious. But I think for the most part, it was balanced and I liked it. I liked how it felt like a real investigation as far as the frustration of we've got this answer, we hit this wall. We've got this answer, we've hit a wall. It might be this, we hit a wall. And just the frustration and the dragged out nature of it, that felt real.
Yeah, most of the times they hit a wall because they're completely incompetent.
Yeah, I understand that there's crooked investigations, crooked cop, but like the amount of sheer just stuff that I don't feel like is true that they try to put in this movie of him basically, again, spoiler alert, trying to take and convict two different random
people. I'm going to torture you until you
can. And I'm like, come on.
End this thing. Instead of spending time doing actual investigative stuff.
So, and a lot of that, one of the other staples of Bong Joon-ho's movies are that he has political subtext. His themes are wrapped around things he wants to say and so there's, without going too deep into it, because I don't know myself, but there, at least from what I've read and interviews that he's given and talked about, is there's a lot of things like that, like the cops being inept and that are supposed to reflect the political state of Korea at that time.
Well, and to give him a break though, I did read after I watched this that after the movie was released, actually, I think just not too long ago, maybe 2018, I don't remember off the top of my head, a man that was serving a life sentence for something completely different was linked to these murders, the real life murders, by DNA and confessed to them. And there were something like 8 of the investigators involved in that case were put on trial for the same exact thing, like torturing and wrongdoing.
Oh.
And so it's not like it didn't happen.
Right. But he did it. He did it in a satirical light, almost similar to what Taika Waititi did in Jojo Rabbit, where he's making fun of this regime or this government or whatever it is in each instance. And he does it by almost making them clowns. That's his way of making fun of them. It's just like, if you, they're just clowns. They're silly, you know, or like you said, the Three Stooges. So it was an intentional decision and I don't mind its intention, but how it plays within the context of this story and the tone of what an investigation into a serial killer should feel like, I don't know that it entirely worked. All right. So I guess before we get much farther into this, we should probably give kind of a general outline of what the story is. And I suppose it's pretty simple. There's two detectives. They find a murder scene. It turns into possible serial killing. And a third detective comes from the big city to assist. And essentially, it's just us following the investigation, them trying to catch the serial killer. So we've talked about how, I guess, the comedy mixes with the thriller aspect of this and the crime and the... But as far as the story, did you have any issues with the story?
Okay.
Uh-oh.
No, I
feel like you cracked your knuckles. Like, here we go.
No, I love doing these podcasts because I feel like my mind sometimes changes as we're talking this out loud. And I'm like, okay, you know what? No, that makes sense. That makes sense. So I love this portion. But the story, I was just kind of thinking about this. I really liked the fact that it seemed like every scene, every situation kind of moved the story forward, drove the plot forward. They didn't spend a lot of time on character building besides the main original detective. Just gave a kind of
the third detective, the one from the big city, they kind of had I guess their character arcs kind of diverge into the middle point where the original detective is more of like a gung-ho. Obviously, we talked about he's torturing people and you know, just super aggressive. The other guy's, you know, this book nerd that wants to actually do an investigation, use his brain and all this. And then kind of by the end, just because they're so burnt out on this investigation, they've run into so many walls, they kind of merge in that middle point where the original investigator detective is kind of more looking at the facts and the logic, and the big city guy who came in that way towards the end, he's more just like, God, I want this to be the guy, so let's make it be the guy type of deal. And so they've kind of, it's not a super deep character arc, but I did like the kind of converging story arcs where they start at two opposite ends of the spectrum and basically meet in the middle towards the end.
Yeah, okay. I definitely agree there. And I really do like that part. I guess I was talking more about, you know, how they take so long to like show you the insides and outs of the character, who that character is. So, and they really only did that for the main one where they showed that, you know, he goes to, I don't know if she's a prostitute or
I believe so, but like a prostitute who he was in a relationship.
I don't know.
It happens.
But either way, yeah. So it kind of shows that he's, I don't want to say that type of cop, but, you know, drinks, goes, you know, pays money.
Playing karaoke. And
karaoke.
Like, yeah, they did make him more of a human than the others. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but I liked the fact that we didn't spend so much time trying to show us each and every character and everything about them. It was more about the murders. Yes. Let's get into it. Let's do investigation. So I really like that part. But then to your point, I really enjoyed the part where they almost flipped roles at the end where, you know, the main officer
so
comes more senseful.
Or let me ask sense. This then. Did you dislike or especially like any of the aspects of the actual investigation? Were there any moments where you're like, okay, that's kind of a convenient way to find that clue, or did you like certain aspects of any of the actual investigation or the journey to find this killer, or any decisions they made, any of their plans, anything like that?
I thought the investigations seemed like the majority made sense and like it kept driving forward, and it was intriguing. So as far as the investigations and that whole story side builds, I really like it. The one thing that stuck out to me that I really want to know if it's true or if they just made it into the movie, which I don't know if I like or not, is the guy who basically is wearing his wife's undies, takes those clothes out into the field and starts to like touch himself, and then he runs into the mine and they only find him because they see him wearing the panties felt, and he's bent over. I'm like,
and I'm this is me going just completely into hyperbole, but the thought entered my mind, so I have to bring it up. It felt like in the old Scooby-Doo cartoons, the character Red Herring, where it was just way too obvious. Like, I get it. We have suspects in this. They want this guy fits it all, but he's, it was just thrown in there specifically to be a red herring. And it just really felt like, obviously it wasn't that to that extent, but that's what the first thing that popped into my mind was the red herring character from Scooby-Doo.
yeah. I just, it's like, and so the main cop and his sidekick go to that crime scene and are hiding. And then the other cop comes and then he's hiding. And then you have this, I'm like,
a series of coincidence. Now, that being said, I did enjoy the scene when that guy runs away. The chase scene itself, I think, was well done. I think I like the music in it. I like the camera work in it. I like the sequence itself. And I enjoyed the sequence once they got to the factory or whatever it was. And that guy was kind of trying to hide in plain sight. And you know, this guy who a lot of times is a bumbling idiot, but he's the one that stops and it shows his eyes. Cause he's always talking himself up, you know, I have the eyes of a shaman, you know, I could, and I loved that aspect of his character, but then to see that this dude isn't a complete clown, like he does have some skills because he's the one that found that guy And I loved that he found him by spotting that guy was wearing the girl's underwear or whatever. He spotted that, but then he played it off to the big city cop. Like, he looked that guy in his eye and was like, that's the guy. Like, he played it off by, like, he only knew because he looked in this dude's eye, and then he was like, thought he was the shit. I really dug that scene.
I'll give you that.
But yeah, that I agree that character, you know, the red herring character was a little obvious.
That's part of the problem, is a lot of it was obvious. I mean, the part of, I compared it to Zodiac, but there, I mean, it is such a direct comparison. And part of the strength of Zodiac is that legitimately any one of these people that they're looking at as a potential killer could be the killer. And it makes every scene so tense.
Yeah.
And this, a mixture of the goofy comedy and the incompetence of the police work, and the fact that they're trying to pin it on very obviously innocent people. None of it, that tension wasn't there.
That's the part that bugged me. And I agree, because we know very obviously based on facts, not even based off of, like, you know, sometimes you go into just, you've seen 1,000 movies, so you know, this can't be the guy. We still got an hour and 40 minutes left in the movie. But putting that aside, we know just based on the evidence presented in the crime scene that these guys are all aware of, that these individuals are not responsible. And I get that they want to find, that's what bugging is. These guys are obviously innocent. They either don't seem to realize that or don't care. And either way, I don't get it. And it didn't really work for me. And like you said, it did sap the tension out of it. It just kind of became a waiting game of, like, all right, this isn't the guy. Let's get to the point where we're back onto the investigation. Those scenes, we were immediately aware they weren't the guy, those scenes then tended to drag out, because it's like, well, okay, what?
Yeah, and then after everyone, I mean, they're torturing these guys for so long, and the captain or sergeant, whatever he was, is just watching it all happen. And then suddenly flips out and he's like, why are you torturing people? Like, you've been watching it for 3 days now. Now you're smacking them around, telling them they can't do it. I don't know. It felt weird. The whole thing, like the whole, and I know that you're trying to play for comedy with the incompetent police. And I guess in real life, they never caught the dude. So yeah. And the fact that Korea at that time didn't have the type of technology present that,
yes, you know, and that, like, was
America would have.
That was again, I don't know everything about Korean politics and the culture at that time. I don't know very much of anything other than what I've read about this movie and in preparation for this podcast. But a lot of those decisions that he made to show those things, the inept detectives, the fact that they had no help from the government because the government's too worried about the civil war that's going on, and all of those things, it probably works better as a theme or as satire or as a statement than it does as a movie, which is how we're watching it, because we're not directly connected to the statements that he's making. At least that was my feel on it. I didn't live these things. Those statements and the things that he's saying and satirizing, is that a word?
Yes.
I am maybe not getting the full message. So I'm more analyzing it as a story and as characters. And I think there were some shortcomings as a result of him trying to be funny and poke fun at those things. And it maybe didn't work so well as a storytelling device. But maybe that's just me. I don't know.
I can appreciate that.
So let's talk about Bong Joon-ho. Aaron, you've said that kind of all of his movies, at least you have kind of had that, yeah, they're fine type of feel.
Well, it's the same way I felt about this, where it's like, well, except for The Host, that was intentionally goofball comedic. But Parasite was the same thing. Like, I mean, there's a weird serious stuff going on in that movie, but then you get these goofy comedic elements, and to me it just doesn't fit. And I'm not huge on comedy anyways, but I don't think, very rarely does a mixture of comedy and another serious genre work. Comedic horrors almost hardly ever work, and a comedic serial killer cop drama doesn't work to me.
So your issues are with the tone then, right? That's what I'm hearing.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So what about the other aspects of,
I mean, of his all directing, the other filmmaking,
the camera work, I mean, the visuals, the cinematography.
Yes. Yeah. We talked about the chase scene, the one scene that was fantastic. I mean, anytime they went into, I don't know, whatever, slow motion scenes that were really dramatic scenes, like when they're dragging away I can't remember the kid's name, but he was kind of a handicapped kid, mentally handicapped. I don't remember his name, but they're dragging him away and he's yelling for his dad. And his dad's screaming that he's innocent. Him? Yes, I think so. Yep.
Yes.
That's a good scene when you're dragging him through the field. Good. They're trying to link him to this murder.
Yeah. Yep.
But at the same time, the tone that was just there previously took away from that impact because, you know, they're trying to pin it on this kid that obviously didn't do it.
Well,
and then same thing. Another scene that I thought was, there are a few that are just fantastic, but it's the tonal shifts around it. The one where the other detective from the big city, can't remember his name either, is walking slowly through the rain to the dead body of the little grade school girl that he had befriended, that was you know, giving him some backstory to these kind of myths around town. And that should have hit a lot harder, but the whole time I'm like, okay, she's dead because you guys were effing around doing goofy stuff trying to pin this on obviously innocent people. I mean, and maybe, I don't know. It was frustrating to me more than anything because of the story and then those tonal shifts. And then even the end, when that's a fantastic scene. I mean, this dude's torn. He wants it so badly to be the killer. And it's like, haven't we already learned our lesson from the previous few times? You're wasting your time.
Yeah, that was the frustrating. Like to see it done once. And maybe it would have worked better if the people that they were torturing or trying to pin it on through whatever means, if we, the audience, were given reasons to actually suspect that this guy did it, they just can't prove it. Okay, then there's a gray area that they're kind of towing, but at least we can understand the motives. Yeah. And that was my biggest hangup, is what is their motive here? What you pin it on this guy who's obviously innocent, there's still going to be killings going on. What is your end game here? And then, like as you pointed out, they never learned. They continue to do the same thing. And it's like, if you do it once and it's, maybe this guy's guilty and we think so too, and it turns into this gray area, and then, that didn't work.
And I should say, who the hell knows? I'm not a forensics expert. I don't know how much of, how much of a chance of error is there in a thing like that when the note said that that's not, I can't remember the exact word, but it wasn't conclusive. It wasn't fully conclusive that his DNA matched. So is there a chance of error? Is there a margin of error that potentially, because all the way up to that, he was acting and there was plenty of things against him that would make you seem like he was guilty. You know, and if he's not guilty, yet he's the one calling in to play this song right when he's like, that's completely way too coincidental. If he's not guilty, but he's the one calling in to play this particular song every time a girl gets murdered.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if there's a chance that, and maybe that's what we're supposed to think. Yeah. There's margin of error. This guy's absolutely guilty. And that's where that struggle is, but at the same time, I don't know, because the rest of the movie, I think that ending bit was hurt because it's like there's such goofballs and then we have this super serious moment.
Now let me ask you, because I like I said, some of the comedy elements actually worked for me. I've already mentioned the flying kicks that happened like 5 times in this movie. Just I want to see just a serial killer investigation movie where that's just what they do. They just like go, they run into doors and just flying kick people and then ask them questions. I want to see that movie.
Amazing.
But
I love it.
The beginning scene, I guess not the beginning scene, when Yeah, I guess it's the beginning scene. So when the main detective, the first detective that we meet, arrives to this scene, and the camera is kind of twirling and showing the whole scene, and you just see how absolutely unprepared and inept they are. And that comedy kind of worked. Like, he comes in this field and the guy just slips and rolls down the hill. And then he talks to this dude, and then another guy rolls down the hill in the same spot. Uh-huh. He slips. That it worked for in that scene to me. I liked that because it was silly, it was funny, but it worked in the chaos of the moment, I guess. So there were moments like that where the comedy I didn't mind because it didn't completely pull you out of the movie, and it wasn't comedy just for like the sake of slapstick. It was just like to show these guys are not prepared. This is they've never encountered anything. This is the first serial killer in Korea's history. They've never encountered anything like that. They don't have the technology to deal with any of this. They don't have the staffing. They don't have the support from the government because it's too busy off fighting the civil war and doing its own thing. And everything is just a circus. And I thought it did a good job of kind of painting that picture of what these investigators are working with. And maybe that's why they would be driven to want to end it and solve it, I guess. I don't know. But I just want to point that out because the comedy didn't always fail.
No, that's a different kind of comedy.
Yeah. Though. See, I agree.
Yes, I agree.
Like something that really would happen, could happen. Adds to the scene because you're just kind of getting like, oh, they're a mess, right? And like it is funny, but it doesn't look like it was necessarily put in there just to try to make you laugh and make it goofy.
Have either of you seen Manchester by the Sea?
Yes.
There's a part in there if you haven't seen it, I'm not gonna spoil, but in a very particularly seriously dramatic and awful part of the movie, there are paramedics trying to get one of those wheeled stretcher thing, I don't know what they're called, into an ambulance.
Yeah.
And they cannot get the legs to collapse and they're fumbling with it. It wasn't intentional. It was actually the actors in that scene couldn't figure it out, but they left it in the movie because, you know, it's real world situation. Things don't always go as planned. That's not slapstick goofball comedy to take away from a very serious scene. Like you're saying, people slipping down a hill, wet grassy hill, that's fine. And you know, kids running through a crime scene could happen because they're just not prepared to handle this, or a tractor driving through footprints. I mean, things like that. Yes, but for your main detectives to be
the Three
Stooges drives me nuts.
I agree because that's what I mean to point out is the more subtle real world humor worked. Like I pointed out earlier, the scene where the initial detective finds that guy and he wants everyone else to think that he discovered it by just looking into this guy's eyes, and the smirk he gives that detective, like that was humorous, and it was humorous in a serious situation, but it fit and it worked. Yep. It wasn't it didn't pull me out of the movie. So there were scenes, I think there were times that the humor was balanced, but I do agree that it went overboard into a little just kind of too silly.
I'm curious, is there no media coverage of this serial? Like, I get it, people have things to do and places to get to, but why is every woman in Korea walking alone through the darkest parts of everywhere they can go?
Totally was going to say that.
I mean, come on. They know the MO, rainy nights, women alone. I mean, put something out there.
The MO, the women may or may not.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, they're operating on, I mean, you heard all the stories they're telling. They're operating on theories that it's something that lives in a porta potty or something, an outhouse. Like,
okay,
who knows what they know?
After however many women die,
I'm
not going out in the middle of the night in a rainstorm to meet up with, you know, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe that was not how it went down, you know, where it was these, I actually sincerely doubt that that's how it actually went down. I think that's for, you know, cinematic drama.
Well, sure, because that
the
one
rainstorm and the red coat, yeah. And I'm sure that's not how it went down. This dude probably just grabbed random girls and raped and killed them. I almost guarantee that. But I agree.
Yeah,
it was a little like, okay, come on, ladies, let's stay inside when it rains. Or you know, it did get a little frustrating.
I don't know, maybe, but it's like, is really the only path to get where you want to be is through the dark forest alone? Honestly, there's no other way, even if it takes a little bit longer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yes.
Like I said, it made for good drama with the guy watching down from the trees.
And visuals, the rain and the red coat. It's all for it's
whistling,
all for the,
whistling from the tall grass, the same tune.
That was a fantastic scene. Her walking, I honestly don't know where she was going or why, because she was walking in the middle of a field toward
a factory to meet somebody the factory, I guess.
I don't know what she was doing. I still don't.
She was going to meet somebody. She had a conversation on the phone about meet me here or whatever. Like I said, every victim chose the most remote area.
Regardless of her motives, that was a fantastically shot and choreographed and the sound, the shot decisions, everything, the visuals, the light scanning the I don't know what crop it was or if it was just weeds or whatever, the fields. When she's looking and you can just see out of the corner of the screen this little the shadow of a man standing up to see her. Very, very, very good scene. And there were so many of those. There were so many scenes that just worked as individual scenes. But as a whole, the movie was just, it always came back to tone for me, like we've said a few times. It came back to just, I'm engaged and I'm like, you know, it's hyper tense and I'm in it. And then some silliness will happen and it drags me out of it. And I'm aware that I'm watching a silly movie. And then it's like super tense again. And we have this great slow motion scene of this dramatic moment and I'm on it again. And then there's some silliness and I'm dragged back out. So it felt like I was just being rubber banded of like being super hyper engaged and into it. And then just having moments like, oh, come on. Like really? So I just think as a whole, it was uneven, I guess. Anything else we want to talk about? We've talked about our main hangups. Did you have any other issues with the movie as far as the writing, the acting? Let's talk about the acting. What did you think of the actors? I mean, I mentioned Song Kang-ho, the initial detective who's been, I mean, got numerous awards. And I think he was damn good in this. A little silly at times, but that's not on him. That was the tone and the writing that he was going for. But I think when he was asked to actually play a character and do dramatic moments, I thought he did pretty damn good.
Yeah, I agree. I think the acting, I did like the acting overall. I was struggling between the acting and the storyline. Like, you know, some of the parts we've talked about and is it the acting? Is it more of the storyline? But I think overall, I do appreciate, for the most part, everything, every actor, every person involved in this movie. I think they did a good job of keeping me engaged with the characters that they are, but it was sometimes hard to decipher if I like the way that they're acting or if I don't.
I think I put a lot of that on the director, just because I if this was a one-time thing, okay, maybe it's the actors going a bit overboard, but that's what Bong Joon-ho does, is injects this comedy into his movie. So And from everything that I've read, he's very, very, very detail oriented and specific about what he wants, where he storyboards every detail out and how he wants it to be. So I don't think he would just let these actors be that silly and over the top if he didn't intend it to be that way. So I put it on the directing.
We talked about the main guy again. I don't know their names. The second guy, the big city cop, I thought was better than the main
Kim Sang-kyung. Really?
Yeah, I liked him.
Yeah.
I liked his character better.
He felt more real, and then he was the one, you know, he kept saying documents are never lie, a document, and then he's the one he breaks at the end, and he says forget this document, it doesn't matter, this guy's guilty, and he wants to just murder him on the spot. And I mean, there was much more to that character than there was the main guy, and I think he did a good job with it.
See, yeah, I think we got more human and intimate moments with the first guy, though. I mean, we got to see him outside of the investigation.
I hated that character completely. I mean, he was the Three Stooges character, and it drove me crazy.
That's fair.
I mean, at some
point, but it wasn't his acting.
You cannot be an investigator if you're that stupid.
You disliked his character as it was written.
That maybe blinded me toward anything good he did, because that character is irredeemable. It doesn't matter who. They could have had Robert De Niro in a perfect Korean accent acting the hell out of it, and I'd have been like, you know what, that sucked, because I hated the character.
I didn't mind it. I liked some of the comedy aspects. I liked the fact that he wanted to pump himself up as having the eyes of a shaman, and he wanted to be this big badass, you know, detective. And I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but I did like some details about him. But we're coming down to it. So let's give our overall thoughts and a score. Dudley, you pick this. You want to go first or last?
I'll go last.
All right, Aaron, start us off low then.
Okay, a few things. It's tough with a movie this old, with reviews readily available. I went into it with high expectations because of those scores. I was well aware of how beloved this movie was. 90%+ from critics and regular audience on Rotten Tomatoes. The people talking about how it's one of the best Korean movies ever made. So maybe my high expectations played into it, but man, was I disappointed in this movie. And it's just not my style. That's personal preference. I get that. It's really well made. It's well directed, well acted. It's not for me. I was expecting something more. I was expecting more out of the ending rather than just kind of a open ending, you know, who knows what happened type of thing. But I guess the real life case was like that. So yep. Pass for that. But it's really not my thing. And this director, as much as I like his work, I just don't like his movies. I don't know. I'm kind of 6.5, and that's maybe even higher than I wanted to give it initially, to be honest.
Oh
God, 6.25. I'm going a little bit lower. 6.25. Okay. Well, this is not one I will watch again.
I was going to say I have the same exact score. I'm giving it a 6.5, which is kind of odd because I seem to be more positive about it, but we've reached the same conclusion. And I did not have expectations. I went in completely blind. I had no clue about the reviews. Instantly, though, I felt the similarities to Zodiac, and I know this came out first, but I saw that one first, so that's what I compared it to, and I vastly prefer that one. And maybe it's not fair to compare. I don't know. I did like a lot of things about this movie. I just think as a whole, it was a bit uneven, especially in the tone. And I kind of, while individual scenes worked very well, as a whole, it was a bit of a mess. So I'm at a 6.5 as well.
Wow. Okay. I love going into movies completely blind. And normally what will happen is I may not be as excited, but then people usually talk me into going into a higher score is how I like it. So I went in, watched the movie, read what actually happened, and it actually made the endings make more sense. Cause when I talked about an incomplete ending, but then going in, it's like, wow, okay. He completely changed his life. He's doing something completely different. He happens to walk by and he's like, oh my gosh, is this person still out there? And you know, is this something that's ever going to get finished? Is how I kind of left with the ending, which I did enjoy. Ending. So, and even with all of the things that we talked about, didn't like, I still think it was a pretty good movie. I do love investigation movie. I do love little twist movies, things like that. I don't necessarily think it was a huge twist because we never really figured out who did it. And that's not really a twist to me. So, but I'm actually, I would I was going to go a 6.75, but the flying kicks.
Yeah.
Seven.
Yep. I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
I gotta go seven. Flying kicks all day.
Every time I saw those, I laughed out loud in the greatest way possible.
Yeah, and at one point, he did his WWE. Yeah, because it's like amazing. Middle of an interrogation, and this dude comes flying in the over the dude, table. Yes. Knocks oh my god! Like, come on,
busted the love lamp. It. That was dude. So brilliant.
Love it.
That yeah. I mean, I want to watch a movie of just that character where he just
no, like, I wanted to see his face during that interrogation. Like, at some point, he decided this isn't going anywhere. What we need now is a big ass flying kick.
Like, I wanted to see him go over to the chief and, like, you know, look at him out of the corner of his eye and kind of, like, you know, head tilt towards the guy, like, now, chief, can I kick him? Like, I want to see a movie where that character is kept on a leash, like he's a canine unit, and another investigator just kind of lets him loose when he wants him to just lunge kick people.
Oh my gosh, I'd be in.
our average score is a 6.6. That gives it a 6.58. That gives it a C+, which I'm fine with. I think that's fair. I guess, Aaron, really quickly, do you have any this or that's in that range?
Yep, I can find some. So 6.0. Okay, so right around that is Malignant. I'd watch that. Malignant. You want to watch some goofy ass
that knows it's goofy.
It doesn't work.
It works.
A Knight's Tale. I definitely rewatch that over there.
Yeah, I would too. Yep.
Willy Wonka. Probably watch that.
Neither.
Wow.
I've never been a real big fan of that one.
I never saw it, but Free Guy, apparently. No,
I don't want to see that.
I never will.
I dig memory. Yeah.
Yeah.
Catch Me If You Can, and it hurts to say it, I don't have any interest in ever seeing that again, even if it's Tom Hanks.
Really?
Neither, I guess. I don't know.
Huh.
The Catch Me If You Can just felt like an endurance test to me. Like, I just finished it because I started it, and I just finished all movies I start, so I had to.
True.
And then another one, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Funny Games was one we reviewed. I think it was just me, Matt, and Mike.
I would rather watch this.
There's a lot of movies right in this range that I just don't have any interest in seeing again. So
yeah, because we're in the
here's fine. Another one. Range. Here's another one. Happy Gilmore, and I'd watch that. Watch that.
100%.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah.
So, they add in just a couple flying kicks, dude.
Yep.
Happy Gilmore.
Like if Ben Stiller was flying kick the old ladies in the nursing home.
Oh my god. Well, now your back's gonna hurt. Flying kick.
Oh my god. Yeah, we definitely need more flying kicks. I'm on board with that. All right. So 6.58 for Memories of Murder. Steve has the next pick, right? So we'll see what
Steve's pick is next.
See what he's got. Follow us on we're at themoviereviewcrew.com if you want to request anything right there on our homepage. Otherwise, we're at the Movie Review Crew on all the social media. Hit us up there. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know what you want to hear. If there's nothing else, I guess somebody in the show.
Well, tell your friends.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Miss you already.
Let's go. But inconspicuously. Through the window.
Lady, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave the store.
Okay, that's it. Where are you guys? I'm going home.
Game over, man. Game over. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do?
Good night. And good luck.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Movie Review Crew. Remember to like us and find us on any of your favorite social media platforms, as well as go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.